Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. I don't know. We'll see what happens here, but I can't promise that I'm going to be able to behave myself this morning. All right? And I'm giving you fair warning. All right? You know, I'm not really sure that I can continue to behave myself. And so we'll see what all goes on here. Oh, I had the Holy Spirit to speak this to me. And this is a work of the Spirit that will be taking place in your heart as we go through the Word of the Lord. Kind of a little simple title. It's called, It's Easier Than You Think. It's Easier Than You Think. And the reason I gave it that title is because that's exactly what the Holy Spirit had spoke to me in relationship to moving mountains. Okay? I mean, that was the exact words that he spoke to me. I will give this, it has a subtitle, and the subtitle is The Persuasion of Intimate Love. The Persuasion of Intimate Love. And so this is what's going to come upon you in the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a work of grace of his intimate love flowing in you here this morning. Holy Spirit, be released in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, be released in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, be released in the mighty name of Jesus. Sweep across and upon in the mighty name of Jesus. This is the mighty work that the Holy Spirit is doing and going to do. And avenues are coming into your life that you've not witnessed before. And we praise him for that. And that just is, I'm going to tell a story as we go along here and with this. But the Spirit of the Lord just brought me to this place and just started talking to me. I started reading and just kind of started talking to me and started kind of showing me some things. And this is the scripture, is in Matthew 17. Because first of all, let it be known that God wants to move mountains in your life. Let it be known that our God has addressed the issue. He's brought it forth in scripture, and he's already told you, and he tells you in many places in his word that he is a God who moves mountains. He is a God who moves mountains, and he wants to move mountains in your life, in our lives, instead of us just throwing up our hands and, you know, resign ourselves and say, oh, well. We do that so often in our lives. You know, when God is saying, no, I want to do something deeper. I want to do something bigger. I want to do something greater, as it was spoke here this morning. How great is your God? This is the verse right here. It's verse 20, 17. You know it well. It's 17, 20, and he said to them, and they were wondering why they couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus had cast the spirit out. There's a deaf and dumb spirit here. We saw that this happened. And it took place here, and then Jesus is speaking. And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith. And that's quite a statement right there. You know, it was amazing, because you can see through scriptures what Jesus would reprimand them. He would reprimand them. You know, he didn't give any mercy over them not believing upon the Lord. You know, he challenged them constantly and continuously about standing on faith. And this is the only time that you're ever going to find the real power of God. And most people, the way that they live their lives is they hope they'll bump into it. That's what they do. They hope they'll bump into it. Instead of really believing God, starting from nothing, starting at the place where your circumstances tell you, hey, buddy, you might as well lay down and quit, because there's just nothing that can be done about this except for God. Except for God. And so I'm challenging you here this morning that you'd step up, as they say, step up to the plate and believe God more than you've ever believed God in your life. Matter of fact, may you live and may you walk in a life of faith, because that's what we've really been called to. This covenant is a covenant of faith on the basis of faith through grace. That's the covenant sealed, okay, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the word of the Lord says that his promises are yes and amen in him. You know, so we're to be a people that receive from the Lord. We're to be a people that stand on the promises, that we live in covenant promises of God. We live differently than those that live in the world. Oh, well, we ought to be living differently than those in the world. I'm sorry, there's just too many Christians that live just like everyone else in the world. And they've never, ever really laid hold of God. It's for you to lay hold of the Lord. If you will rise up, as they say, and take hold of the Lord, you will find great works of grace flowing in your life that are beyond you and beyond your ability. It's beyond being positive. It's beyond having a strong will or constitution, or even have strong resolve. It goes way beyond all that. It's even found in the midst of your weaknesses, but you are brought into his strengths. This is what you will find. This is the work of God. And it comes here. Let's read again. And he says, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly, and this is an amazing thing that was said, because of the littleness of your faith. And then he says, but truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, move from here and there, and it shall be moved. I'm going to stop right there. That's a pretty good promise, isn't it? You know, that's a promise that's made from God. That's the promises that's made in the covenant of the Lord. You know, and this is the attitude that we ought to tackle our problems, our issues, the things that are impossible for us. You know, God answers prayers in a lot of different ways. You know, he answers prayers immediately, and then he answers prayers as time go by. And then there's even prayers that are answered in a more long-term way, right? But God hears our prayers, and he answers our prayers. The word of the Lord says that our prayers are as incense before the throne of Almighty God. Have you ever walked into a room and there was an incense right there? I mean, it didn't matter what else was going on, right, in that room. I mean, what got your attention immediately was the fragrance of the incense. Isn't that right? It was the fragrance of the incense. So it is with your prayers and my prayers before the throne of God. Don't ever stop calling. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop believing before the presence of Almighty God. Do not let go of him. Don't settle. Don't settle. God has great blessings. This is the promise of the Lord right here. And he says that if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say. Now that's another side of it, and I'll get into that in just a moment. You know, but you've got to release that faith before the Lord. And it says right here, you shall say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move. And then look at this latter part. If it wasn't enough about the mountain, he goes on and he says this, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And then we all come back to the place to where, my goodness, that what he said to us right here was, he said that if you have the faith of a mustard seed. I know that's created quite a quandary for us many times. And we think about this. One time I was going through some of my mother's stuff, you know, in the box of stuff, and I don't know what, I saw this little box, and I pulled that box out. I didn't know what in the world it was. And real old, boy, it was really old, so I don't know what my mother was doing with it. But it was a box of mustard seed. You know, and then when I moved it, then here it had little cracks on the bottom, and here comes all those seeds start flowing out right here. I had a time getting them all back in that box. You know how little, how tiny, you know, is a mustard seed? And then an amazing analogy. And we have to make a choice that you know, to come outside our logical thinking and come into the realm of believing, even when we don't really understand it. And that's called courageousness. That's called courageousness. When you're willing to come out of the realm of your understanding and you're willing to come into the place of faith without having any understanding, because you know that God is true, and because you know His word is true, and that you know He cannot fail, and nor will He fail you, and that you're going to stand up on it. That's called courageousness. That's called courageousness. And that's the kind of faith that it takes to really lay hold of God. That's the kind of faith that it takes to move mountains. Because, you know, a mountain, who can move a mountain, right? You know, who can move a mountain? So we're talking about things that cannot be moved in the natural realm, that only God can move, and He's given promise to you and me that He will move them, right? He will remove them. And we have to follow the Holy Spirit when we go through these things. It's not for you to know how this was all going to operate, but when you open up your heart before the Lord and you have a willingness of spirit, you have a willingness of spirit. You've not walked after that spirit of resign, you know, because you look at the overwhelmingness of the mountain. No, that's when defeat comes and you don't hear the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But when you come before the Lord and you're willing to walk with the Lord, and that's the key element here, that you're going to walk with the Lord in these things, because it's beyond your ability to comprehend or to understand. He'll lead you through it. He says, with the faith of a mustard seed, that mountains will move. I had the Spirit of the Lord, you know, like I said, He just spoke to me as I was reading this, and He said to me, He said, it's easier than you think. And I got to looking. It's easier than you think. And then I heard something else from the Holy Spirit. And really quite amazing is that He said to me, give me a chance. Give me a chance. You know, because most of the times we see the mountain and we look for another avenue. We see the mountain and we look for another avenue. We look many times for man's way as how to cope with the mountain. Or we just forget about it, right? You know, we forget about it. And if God doesn't answer our prayer in 24 hours, you know, then He must not be wanting to do it. We got to have more than that. We got to have more than that. Okay, so praise God. Now, I want to read these to you right here. Factors that move mountains. I'm going to give you four factors that move mountains right here. And for you to understand, obviously the issue's not faith, because it just takes a mustard seed, right? Yeah, it's not a whole lot, right? That's not a whole lot, a mustard seed. You know, God begins to be moved, and He begins to operate when you've got nothing more than a mustard seed. And a mustard seed of faith will contain with it all of the miracle-working power of Almighty God to move the mountain. That's an amazing thing. And many times we're looking for more faith, right? I'm not saying we don't grow. The Word says we grow in faith, right? And we learn the way of faith. Many people have been in church for years, never really learned the way of faith in their life. You know, that sometimes becomes issues. There are other issues there. But the amount of faith is not the issue. The amount of faith is not the issue right here. But there are factors that are involved. Here's the factor number one. Number one is the position of faith. That we take up the position. That may sound a little bit silly, as I just got through saying, though, that many people don't walk by faith. It becomes a catchphrase. It becomes a doctrine. And there's no fundamental practice of faith in their life. It is an issue of heart, and it is an issue of mind. And also, mind with mindset is very important to the way that we find faith and cooperation with the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a very important thing to be made known. that we walk in cooperation with the Holy Spirit of God. He's the only one that can implement. Faith is spiritual in nature. It's beyond positive thinking, right? It's beyond being positive. There's a positive element, yes. But that's not just positive, it's called hopeful. There's a difference, hopeful versus positive. Okay, so anyway, we realize this. But that position of faith, number one, all right? This is where your confession, I'll get to that in a minute. But this is where you take up faith. This is where you apply faith. And this is a mind consciousness of the act of faith. Because your heart's involved. That's number one. Number one. Here's number two. Let me give you number two. Number two, all right, that was the position of faith. Number two is the stand of faith. The stand of faith, all right? The stand of faith. You know, you take the position of faith, and the next thing you do is you make the stand of faith. This is where your confession begins to come into play. Because the Bible says that the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. You'll know where people are real quick by the things they want to talk about. You know what they're made of very, very quick, right? You know? Well, you know, I ain't got nothing of God to talk about. You know, unless I'm sitting in the pew and then I can say a few things about the Lord. And apart from that, you know, the mouth fills, okay, whatever's in the heart. You know, so we begin to let it out. We let that faith out, and that's how that faith gets stronger in your life. As you begin to confess that hopefulness, you begin to confess that word. You dare? Do you really dare? This is the evil one will challenge. Do you really dare to actually say silly things like that about the mountain? Don't you know that the mountain is never going to be moved? You know the devil tries to use ridicule. You know that, don't you? Ridicule and humiliation are great tools of the evil one. I'm talking about to your own mind. See, he's appealing to your self-image and pride and all that, right? You know, that's what he's doing. And, you know, I don't want to be foolish and all those things. And then the next thing you know is he's got you shut up, right? He's got you. He accomplished what he was wanting to do. How silly of you. And he'll go tell your friends, and they're going to think that you lost your rocker, right? And all that. Go tell your coworkers, and boy, they may try to lock you up, you know, that you talk about stuff like that. You know, you can't, do not cast your pearls before swine. I'm not going to talk to everybody that I'm going to just blabber out. You know, everything that where I'm standing in before the Lord, because there are people who have no understanding about what in the world are you talking about, right? And God will always use the innocent and oh so well-meaning naysayers, right? The innocent and oh so well-meaning, you know, naysayers, because they really don't know faith. They may go to church every Sunday. They may be the pastor. I don't know. Right? All right, so this is a very important thing for God to move, is that we begin to make that confession. You know, what is going into the heart and that what comes out of the mouth, you know, that's very important to us. Convinced of the Lord. The other issue of that stand is that you, it's a whole heart decision. It's a whole heart decision, all right? You know, you're not got one hand on the back door with plan B, right? Well, you know, I'm going to try God, not believe God, right? You know, I'm going to ask the Lord. We'll see what happens. You're done. You're done. Okay, right? You got unbelief and doubt and fear coming to you very quickly, okay? And it's going to win. It's going to win. No. No, there's no plan B with the promises of God. You know, it's a whole heart decision. Whole heart decision. Everybody say whole heart. That's what it takes to walk before the Lord. Here's number three. Number three is the perseverance of faith. You know, with that mustard seed, it's not that being Superman in faith. It's not, I got to get to another level. No, it's the willingness. It's the willingness. Maybe we might even call it the foolishness of I'm going to believe God. I'm turning to the Lord. I'm calling on the name of the Lord. I live or I die, but I'm standing on the Lord and the word of promise that he's given to me. That's called a whole heart. Don't read into that. All right, the perseverance of faith. And you know, this is where you take up the good fight for the faith. This is where that you begin to enter into that battle of stand before the Lord. And this is where God's got his perfect will, perfect way, perfect timing, perfect answer, you know, and how that all comes about. And this is where you're waiting on the Lord. There again, you're walking with the Lord. You're walking with the Holy Spirit through this thing. It's not you bringing down the mountain. You can't bring no mountain down. Only the power of God can, because you decide that you're going to believe upon it. And God says, it's going to be moved. Okay. It's going to be moved. Right? All right. You know, so there we are. You know, because you have to persevere. And you must understand that. That perseverance is when resistance comes your way. Right? You know? That's when resistance comes your way. You can feel it. You can feel it. You feel that, yeah, that resistance that's coming your way. That battle for faith. Now, the evil one, he's a liar. Everybody say he's a liar. He's a liar, right? You know, and he'll because you begin to wrestle with the things, the fiery darts that he hits you with, and you know, and you begin to wrestle with them, and rightfully so, you would, you know, with fears and doubts and afflictions of the thoughts of this and that. And even, I don't know how it works, but he brings thoughts. And you ever had thoughts and feelings come with it? Right? Can you? All right? Sure. I don't get it. I don't know it. I just know it happens, right? And I know the evil one can do in that. Boy, that's powerful influence. Boy, and that's really, really powerful influences. And when these things come, and he'll say, see, you don't have no faith. He wants to paint that image of the Superman of faith, right? You know, where there's no affliction, there's no struggle, there's just no difficulty. Man, I'm believing God. And God will bring you into a victory. He did this with Abraham. He'll do it with you. He'll bring you to the place where you have victory in your heart before you have victory in the situation. Yes, he will. That's what he did with Abraham. And that's where the fight is coming through. All right? You're going to let it unfold God's way, his will, his timing, and he will bring it about. It's not your timing. It's not your way. It's not your image of thought. He's going to bring it down. He'll move the mountain, but he'll bring you into a place of victory. And then see, when the victory comes, then you begin to give thanksgiving. You begin to give praise to the Lord. You begin to just confess what you know is going to happen, right? So this is a wonderful blessing. The Spirit does this. The Spirit does this before the mountain is moved. You have to take thoughts captive. If you don't ever learn how to take thoughts captive, you're never going to be able to stand in anything. That's just the way that it is. You have to deal with the fiery darts of the attack, the doubts, the fears, the anxieties. The speculations have to be taken captive, okay? You need to trust while believing. Here's number four. Number four, and it sounds the same. The Greek word's the same, you know, but it's expressed differently in the New Testament. One's perseverance and the other one, and this is called number four, the endurance of faith. All right? The endurance of faith. Wow. You know, what do you mean? Well, the perseverance is standing against the oppositions and the things like that. But then with endurance is that this is longevity of faith. This is longevity of faith. Are you in for it for the long haul? What proves it, whether you're in for it the long haul or not, is that when you're dashed to the ground quickly, you were really trying God instead of believing God. And you just need to come to that factor. Confess it, humble yourself, and start over again with a whole heart. No. I'm believing the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about temporary battles where you have times and moments of weakness, you know, and then you kind of give up, depending on the mountain, you know, and you kind of give up, that type of thing, you know, because, you know, you're going through a wrestling moment. That's not what I'm talking about, taking, start over. We go through that, but then we can't stand ourselves. right? You know, I can't stand it, right? I can't stand myself, you know? I got to get back to believing God. So that happens in every war. It just does. It happens in every war. So the endurance is that you're trusting in the timing of God, the way of God. You're still going to stand and believe as Abraham did, even in the delay of the Lord, to wait upon the Lord, to wait upon the Lord. And then again, this point that I'm making right here is the longevity, the longevity. And you might make a note about this and you pray about this sometime, the longevity of expectation. All right? Huh? Everybody say the longevity of expectation. All right. Praise the name of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And then, like I said, God just speaking to me. It's easier than you think. Right? And when this happened, the Spirit of the Lord took me back in my mind. He brought a scripture to me at this time. And he brought this scripture to me. And I knew it was in James. I just couldn't figure out where, and two scriptures, and this was really interesting. And that was like, I knew God's talking to me. And then he brought this scripture to me. And listen, James 3:3 says, now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well, And then another scripture came to me, right? And here was the next one that had come along with that. And that was found in Psalms 32. Verse 9 says, do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle. Then it goes on to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near to you. And then the Spirit of the Lord brought me back to my childhood, and to my best friend during my childhood years. His name was Mickey. Okay? But Mickey wasn't a schoolmate, right? Mickey wasn't a little dog. Mickey wasn't a cat. Mickey was a horse. He was my best friend. And when I say these things, I'm not mixing words. He was my best friend, right? I spent all my time with Mickey. This is from about 9 years old on up, right? And Mickey and I, it enriched my childhood. And God just started showing me and reminding me of things that took place when I got Mickey. Mickey hadn't been rode very much, He was kind of used to having things his own way, And he did whatever Mickey wanted to do. Now, Mickey was about, I'll give him information that you might say, I don't even really care. But anyway, he was a small horse, a large pony. He was about what they call 13 hands. That's what they call from the withers, from that hunch mark, right, down their neck. And you go straight down their shoulder all the way down, their foreleg. And then, that's how you measure the height of a horse. Horses classified are 14 hands to 16 hands can be higher. He was right at 13. He was either a large pony or a small horse. He was more than enough for me, I will tell you right now. He was more than enough for me. We had a time. And he wasn't used to being rode. He was used not being told what to do. He did not like that bit in his mouth one little bit. And he really didn't care much to be rode. He ran into the wrong person, right? Okay, because he went to Little Ronnie's boot camp when I got him. And so anyway, he really rebelled big, okay? Oh, my gosh, could he bite? I'm telling you right now, he could take a plug out of you quicker than you could say Jack Rabbit. And you never knew when he was going to bite. But he especially liked to bite when I would put my foot on that stirrup and I'd put just a little bit of pressure. Woof! Here he'd come around. And he could move faster than I could. And man, he'd have me right here in my calf right there. Oh, goodness gracious, he could bite. Threw me I don't know how many times, knocked me out once, because I made him mad, and I made a mistake. I went kind of behind him. Boy, when I got in the right spot, whoo, man, he hit me. Slammed me up against that fence, and I just slid that down that fence cold turkey. Woke up just a little bit later. We had a time, I'm telling you right now, you know, it was a war, boy. You know, my daddy got on him a few times, rode him into the ground, and then said, "You get on him now and you ride him into the ground." And boy, me and I did. I ride him into the ground, you know, and everything else. I disciplined him too, you know. I'm kind of old school. You got to realize that my upbringing and all that type of thing and with animals was quite different from today. And so I got his attention. You know, my daddy always said, "You got to show him who's boss. You know, you got to show him who's boss." You know, and boy, oh boy, we went around and around and around. He tried to drag me off on a fence. You know, you'd be going down just perfectly, and just you got too close to that fence, and all of a sudden, whoof, there he is. I mean, there's not an inch between my leg and the fence, right? You know, and he's trying to drag me off of him. You know, he was so smart. You know, that was good, and sometimes it wasn't good, you know. And I remember fond memories is that I used to love to ride in parades. That was my thing, was to ride with him, and my mother and dad knew it. My mother and dad did not indulge me, but they did indulge me in certain things, and they certainly did with Mickey. You know, I'd clean him up real good. I had a beautiful saddle blanket that was, it was multicolored, you know, red and white and black and yellow. And boy, sharp, you know. And then my everyday blanket, I put that on him. You know, and then I had a silver concha bridle, and I put that on him. Woo-hoo. You know, and oh, you should have seen me. Oh, my gosh. I used to get cowboy boots every year for Christmas, right? And then I'd have my old boots, and then I'd have my new boots. And, you know, I only wore my new boots there for a while, you know, and that's for parades. You know, I had a beautiful, beautiful silver belly cowboy hat with a silver band. Oh, and then a flowered shirt. And then I had beautiful spurs. Beautiful spur. I didn't spur him. I didn't use the spurs. They were for looks, right? You know, and so we'd show up, you know, at the staging area, you know, with all the other horses and everything. And then, and Mickey, when he walked in, he wanted everybody to know who was boss, you know, because he tried to tell me that he was boss, right? You know, and anyway, we'd be standing there, you know, among other horses and everything. And old Mickey put his ears back. He wanted those geldings to know, hey, well, you want to know who's on the scene right here? It's me, all right? And then he would just bite them. Of course, the owners would blame me. But he'd just be, you know, all of a sudden he'd just reach over and bite one of them, you know, and then everybody got the message, I'm in charge. Anyway, we used to have such a great time. My dream was riding Mickey in the Rose Bowl Parade. That was my dream, you know. I don't think they hardly have horses in parades anymore. They used to have them a lot. I'm thinking of all of these things. God's spirits bring me back to the memory, and I remember those things right there. And then, you know, the Spirit of the Lord brought me to another place. It kind of shocked me. You know, he became so tame. He did. He became so tame that he'd do anything. He did everything I told him to do. Right? He would even lay down in my presence. Right? You know, that's not natural. He'd lay down in my presence. He'd bow, right? He'd do anything. Stay. I'd go in the house, right? I'd go in the house. But you got to realize that was a time where I probably spent more time with him than even a horse trainer would spend with a horse because I was with him constantly. If it was raining hard, I went into the barn, I let him out of the stall, and I messed with him. Right, and if it was snowing, I'd ride him in the snow. But if it was snowing, or it was real, real cold, you know, I didn't stay in a house. I'd go in a barn. I let him out of his stall. You know, and you know, he became so tame, like a little puppy dog. Like a little puppy dog. And then, you know, this is amazing what the Holy Spirit said to me. He said, "Ron, Do you remember the apples, the sugar cubes, and the pails of water? Isn't that incredible? You know, because it's one thing to take me back into my memory and for God to speak to me, and I'm remembering these things. I'm remembering Mickey. I'm remembering what I went through and all those things. And then in the midst of that, then the Spirit of the Lord says to me, he says, Ron, do you remember the apples, the sugar cubes, and the pails of water? Because when I'd spend time with him and love on him and I'd talk to him, because he was my best friend, I loved Mickey. You know, and the Spirit of the Lord showed me, do you know that it was during that time, and I had love on him, and I'd give him an apple. He loved them. He loved apples, you know. And then he loved the sugar cubes especially. And then, you know, when I take that bridle off of him, I always got a pail of cool water, and I'd hold it. And this is what the Spirit of the Lord said to me, Ron, do you remember the apples, the sugar cubes, and the pails of cool water? I said, yes, Lord, I remember that. He said, that's when you won him. You won him in the persuasion of intimate love. To where Mickey would do, he trusted me. And he'd do anything I told him to do. It didn't matter what it was. I grew even closer to him. I trusted him explicitly. He trusted me explicitly. We became like one. This was an amazing time for me, an amazing time for my childhood. But isn't it amazing how God, I know I'm being silly, he was looking at me back in those days, right? In those young years. And he knew about the apples. He knew about the sugar cubes. You know, he knew about the cool pails of water. And he brought it to my memory. Isn't that an amazing thing? Isn't that just absolutely amazing thing? And see, this is where your faith is found to move mountains. It's found in the place of the persuasion of intimate love. It's not found through you trying to have more faith. You have to make the stand. You have to get in the position. But he'll lead you through every step. But the way he'll make himself known to you and the way you'll be strong is not through you just trying to muster it up. It's going to come through the work of intimate love. This is what's being released upon you here today. See, some of us been pursuing the wrong direction in order for the mountain to be moved. We've been trying to get stronger in ourselves. We've been trying to find that key element of faith is what we've been trying to find. That's what we've been doing. And it hadn't been working. And we've been so bumfuzzled over, why hadn't it been working? You know, I don't understand this. You know, and God said, it's easier than you think. It's easier than you think. Right? Kathy, would you come? Would y'all come? The Spirit of the Lord is doing a work in you. Now listen to me. That you, all right, being brought into a greater realm of the intimate love of the Lord. Fully with where he had you. What he called you to do, what he letting him be the Lord over your life, and that you served him fully in that realm of your life, and you glorified his name, then you will receive the fullness of reward, because that's what God wanted from you. Oh, it's really quite amazing and really quite glorious. So we want to be that faithful people of Almighty God. And then just simply in going on a little bit here, verse 4 says, who desires, that's the Lord, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, and then it goes on. So we pray that way. God is saying, I'll save. I will move. Will you pray? I'll save. I will move. Will you pray? That's what he's saying. Look at that promise. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now look at this verse 6. Isn't this incredible? Who gave himself as a ransom, look at this, for all. The testimony bore at the proper time. The evil one, this deserves another message, and I will get into it, which is part of spiritual warfare. But you know, God's wanting the people to stand in the gap and to claim the souls of the lost. Those that are dying and lost in the world, that all around us, that God wants us to stand in the gap. He wants us to be a people who will call them in. He would notice it's not just witnessing. That's part of it. But it all has to do with spiritual warfare. It has to do with the Spirit of God opening hearts, opening minds, opening eyes, and the Holy Spirit calling them into the kingdom of God. Because I can't save anybody. I can't save anybody. I can't convince anybody. It's not being a person who's got a good argument. It's not being a person that's got a good argument. You know, that's not a soul winner. A soul winner is not a person that's got a good argument. You know, that he's a good soul winner. Well, he'd be good selling used cars as well, right? You know, that's what we kind of think about that. You know, no, not whatsoever. It's the Spirit of God that opens hearts. And it's the prayers of the saints that causes God to move upon the hearts of men. And he begins to change hearts and he begins to change minds. This is the mission of the church. And this is why the evil one seeks to distract the church so much, that Christians are so busy living their lives and doing so many other things other than being about the business of the Father. You know, you live in the realm that God's called you, and you be the full servant of Almighty God in the realm where God has you. And you serve Him fully, and you belong to Him, and you be listening for Him, and you look to Him, and you look for Him, and let Him use you where you're at. You're not waiting for God to get you to another place to be used. He wants to use you now, right where you are, right now. And it's amazing the power of God that is released in our weaknesses. You know, well, I don't have the story down good. I don't know Scripture very well. You know, I'm not really much of a talker, you know, that type of thing. But I'll tell you, it's in that vulnerability, you know, and that willingness where the Spirit of God begins to move in power in the utmost weakness and opens up the hearts and the minds of men. And something glorious happens. People are saved. So we want to be that people. We want to walk in this. We want to walk in the Word. And we want it to be what God's called us to be. We must stand in the gap for America, because there are many forces that want to destroy her. There are many forces that want to destroy America. What country has stood with Israel more than America? You know, what country? Don't tell me that God hasn't used America, right? And then again, I mentioned, look at the missionary works around the world. What nation has spread the gospel like America has? There is no other nation that can be compared. There's no other nation. Oh, yes, we got a lot of wrong. We got things that are wrong. We got people trying to destroy our nation. We've got abortion, and that's a great shame on our nation, and other things that we could mention. I know, we're not perfect. We're far from being a perfect nation, far from it. That's why we have to be in the fight. That's why we got to be in the fight, because we cannot just go about our merry way and let this nation be taken over by the forces of evil, because as the forces of evil take over this nation, so goes the world. So goes the world, okay? And so we need to understand this. We need to understand this. And it's very important that we understand it's not up to somebody else. It's up to you. It's up to me, you know, because we make ourselves available to the Lord. Don't underestimate the authority that you have as a believer. I'm telling you right now, do not underestimate the authority in the realm of the Spirit that you in Jesus have. The old evil one wants you to underestimate it, you know, so that you will not really see its great value or enter into it. Demons tremble at knowing who you are. demons tremble at knowing who you are. The devil just wants to work in such a way that you don't ever discover who you are. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for our land. I'm going to pray that for our church, for the church. Let's ask for God to revive the church so that the church can be at the forefront of the direction that this nation goes, right? You know, and that's what we need to understand. It is the church's responsibility to be a light in the land, to be a light in the land. And then that's what calls our nation to be on course and to go in the right direction versus the fact that we can be destroyed if the evil one has his way. Beatrice, would you come up here? Okay, let's all just stand a minute, if we would. Let's just all stand a minute. We'll have this prayer, okay? We're going to pray for the church, all right? I'm going to pray a minute, then I want you to pray a minute, okay? All right, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, oh, Lord God, Lord, we're coming together before you as a church body. Oh, Lord God, we just want to tell you that we're so grateful, Father God. Lord, we're so grateful for this land, and we thank you, Lord God, for all the liberty and all of the freedoms that you've brought to us, oh, Lord God, because we know that all of our liberty and all of our freedom as a nation, oh, Lord God, really is a reflection of the freedom and the liberty, Lord God, that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we just want to pray right now that you would raise up your church in a mighty way. We want to pray that, Father God, that you have your way with this land. We want to pray, Father, that you'd revive the church. Oh, Lord God, we lift that up to you right now. We pray with all of our heart. Oh, Lord God, oh, Lord, send the reviving fires of Almighty God, Lord, to this land, and Lord, revive your church, Father God. Oh, let the burning fire of Almighty God fill the hearts of the people of the Lord. Father God, may you touch every church, oh Lord God, in our city. Oh, Lord God, Lord, may you touch us, oh Lord God, as a church. Father God, may you touch all of your people, oh Lord God, in this city. Lord, we pray, oh Lord God, for this city, that the revival fires of Almighty God would come. We pray, Father, for this city, that, oh Lord God, for a great mighty harvest into the mighty kingdom of Almighty God. Oh Lord God, we pray that, Lord, that you'd move throughout this nation, that you'd move, oh Lord God, and set fires, O Lord God, forth in a mighty way. Come, O Lord God, and set the church on fire for your glory and for your kingdom, O Lord God. Lord, save your people. O Lord, save your church. Come and save the church in America. Let us be the guiding light that, Lord God, that our land needs, O Lord God. Father, that our communities need. That, Father God, that, oh Lord, our cities need, yes. That, oh Lord God, that our families need. And we lift that before you right now. Oh Lord God, Father, start with me. Start with us. Let that be the prayer of our heart. Oh Lord God, Lord, that we're not just praying for others. Oh Lord God, we lift up ourselves and we say, oh Lord, before you. And we say, oh Lord, start with me. Start with me, oh Lord God. Let the fire of the living God, fill my heart, oh Lord God. Oh, may my life burn for the glory of the Lord. Let it honor you. Let it magnify you. Let it glorify you, oh Lord God. Oh Lord, we're calling on the mighty name of the Lord. We ask for forgiveness of our sins as a nation. We lay it at your feet in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we humble ourselves before your presence right now, and we ask for forgiveness, Father. Lord, forgive us for our wickedness. Forgive us for our evil. Forgive us of our arrogance. Forgive us of our pride, oh, Lord God. I even pray that, Lord God, our national pride, Father God, without God is arrogance. And, Lord, we just ask for forgiveness, Father, because of anything that we have in our nation has all been because of you. Let us glorify Jesus first and above all else, oh Lord God. And let us be thankful for the land that, Lord, that you have given us. And may you be magnified in this land. May you be magnified in this land as we give you the praise and give you all glory and honor.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, and I speak to...
It's on.
Yes, I speak...
There it is.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you. you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we bless you. We give you praise. We worship you. Speak right now to the church as a whole. I declare right now, arise. Arise in the church of America. Arise, the church of God in America. Awake. Awaken. Let your spirits arise right now. I speak this and let it flow through the whole nation, Lord God. We speak this. We thank you, Lord God. Let the church take her place to proclaim, to declare, and decree what should be, because that is our position. Father, you have given us that authority. And we stand beginning from here today. Let this be a day, a pivotal day for change in this nation. Let your church arise. Let your church arise worldwide. Let them stand in and declare what should be. Father, I thank you that you hear us. We are your people. We are your children. We are agreeing here today that let transformation start in the lives of your people, beginning with me, beginning with us, beginning with the nation as a whole. Thank you, Lord, for releasing your revival fire. Let it catch on everywhere. Let revival fire catch on. Father, we thank you.
Amen.
We glorify your name. You are so good to us. You are so good to your people. You are so good to this nation. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Give us yet another chance. Give us another year, as was said in the song we sang earlier on. Give us another day. Give us another year that we may reach out many souls that are perishing out there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Kathy, why don't you all come, okay? And remain standing if you would.